to see everybody, brethren. Well, today is February 3rd, 2018, and there are, according to my calculations, 55 days until we observe the Passover services, the New Testament Passover services. That would be on the evening of Thursday, March 29th, for all of the baptized members of the church, and others are, of course, permitted to come and observe the taking of the Passover. But that is scheduled Thursday, March 29th this year. Now, back in the year 2014, about approximately 4 years ago, UCG produced a wonderful, I think you'd call it biweekly, six-part video Bible study series, which is still archived on the internet, the UCG website, entitled Six Steps to Passover. Now, they mentioned, why did they choose six? We always like a biblical number, right? Well, by the time they decided to do it, they didn't have enough time before the Passover to do seven. So that I'm sure there's many more than six steps that can be thought of, because we're dealing with something dealing with the infinite in preparing for the Passover. But that is what the series in 2014 ended up being. And the stated purpose of that was to prepare the brethren to properly observe the Passover and thus, of course, grow in our relationship with Christ, our Passover, in the process of preparing for it. So today, brethren, I'm going to use the six-step Bible study outline as a structure for this message. I thought it would be beneficial, as Paul said, meet in due season, to take that series and mention just a few salient points from that lecture series, that Bible study series, that are suggested, some suggested scriptures and concepts that would be beneficial for us to study about on our own and meditate on as we prepare for the Passover. And that's the goal of this message. Now, like I said, we really like, instead of six, we like the number seven. So actually, the title of this sermon is Seven Steps to Passover. I thought of one more, so we come up with seven. Okay. Actually, it came to me. I didn't force it, but it came to me. So the part one of that Bible study series was on the topic of Jesus, our Passover, the fact that Jesus Christ was and is our Passover. Not only is Jesus Christ our high priest, well, first of all, not only is Jesus Christ the Word, the one who created us, God, he created all things, including us. He was the greatest prophet ever. He is our high priest, and he is the soon coming eternal King of Kings. Not only that, but it is said over 200 ways, he is made known to us in Scripture that he is our Passover also. So let's focus on, so let one of the focuses, this first topic or subsection, be focusing on Christ as the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the whole world, and what that deep meaning is, not only for the world, but for each of us individually. Because, he is our Passover, as we'll see. So let's start with some of the most beautiful words you can ever read is in the book of Philippians. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians, and Philippians 2:5 is a great exhortation for all of us. And I think this would be no greater of a goal for us in preparing for the Passover, and that is what is contained in the exhortation in Philippians 2:5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." When you start to study and contemplate what kind of a mind Jesus Christ had in preparation to becoming a human being and coming to this earth and becoming our Passover, and now as our high priest at the right hand of God the Father in the third heaven, this is a huge goal, to have the same mind that Jesus Christ had and has. Brethren, if we can go to Ephesians 4:13, and I'm just going to touch on a few verses, but as we go through from the Bible study series, but for Ephesians 4:13, it says, in breaking into a middle of the thought about the church and the different offices that God has appointed in the church, just breaking right in verse 13, in Ephesians 4:13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, and then it says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is our goal, brethren, and that's something to meditate on as we prepare for the Passover. Jesus Christ and being like him is our goal. That's the most important goal in life, because Jesus Christ is the personification of everything, of perfection, of human perfection, and everything that we should have in our life. So we should study about Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible study said, study Jesus. And then the presenter said, does that sound evangelical? To say, study Jesus, or a Protestant. Well, it's not really. It's a biblical principle. As we read through the Bible and think about getting to know Jesus Christ, make him what our life is all about. And that needs to be what we are doing, so that he is our goal. And we are studying him and understanding what he was and is. So if someone asked you, what is the gospel of the kingdom of God? You could come up with various answers for that. Of course, it's about the soon coming establishment of an eternal kingdom on this earth and all those things. But when it comes down to it, you could summarize it by saying the gospel, the true gospel, is the sum total of the message, the life, and the works, and the example and the promises, all rolled into Jesus Christ, our Passover. If we can go to Hebrews 2:10, brethren. Hebrews 2:10, it says, let me get that here. It says, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and this, the context is referring to Jesus Christ, in bringing many sons, and of course many sons and daughters, as Paul said in another verse, it's understood to be both sons and daughters, to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So Jesus Christ is referred to in the New Testament as the head of the church, of the true church of God. And it's important that we keep Christ at the forefront of our thinking, always keeping in mind that, having that paradigm, that vision that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father, actively being the head of the church of God on earth in these last days. Now that requires faith, because we haven't seen that. We've never, none of us have, of course, been to the third heaven, and the only one I can think that had a vision of that there was other prophets who saw actually also, but in the New Testament comes to mind as the Apostle Paul was granted a vision. But still, that is an act of faith on our part. So it's important that we keep Christ at the forefront of our thinking, the forefront of our minds, as I read in Philippians 2:5, that we should have the mind of Christ. If we let that mind get away from us, which can be so easily distracted in this world, there are so many distractions. Do we really understand what it means? We must never let it allow ourselves to be distracted. We must really strive to understand what it means for Christ to be who we focus on as our Passover. So, brethren, I wanted to go now, brethren, if we can go to Luke 8:10. Luke 8:10 in the Gospels. Christ was talking to his disciples. He was talking to his disciples. He had given parables to the masses, and then his disciples asked for the meaning of a parable he had just given about the parable of the sower. And he said to his disciples, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." If you don't understand God's plan of salvation as revealed by the holy days, the annual holy days, well, the weekly Sabbath plus the annual holy days, if one doesn't understand the God's plan of salvation, and you think, and one thinks that this is the only day of salvation, this is unfair. That means that God deliberately did not allow some people to understand the parables he spoke to them. And if this was all there is, if this physical human existence was all there was, then it would be very unfair of God to do that. But as we know, this is not all there is. A person in a tribe in Africa who didn't get, the missionary never got there because he had a flat tire and the man died, he's not condemned to eternal torment in hell because he never accepted Christ. No, there's a great plan for every single man, woman, and child on the face of the earth, and that plan is centrally focused and has a central focus on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Passover for all of humanity. So, brethren, here's a suggestion for as we prepare for the Passover. If you are in the category of one of those people that God has opened your mind to understand them, as Christ said, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. If you know that Jesus Christ has opened your mind, there was a time you didn't understand. I remember before I was in the church reading the Bible, and it was Greek, and I did not know Greek. It was Greek to me to read. But if your mind has been enlightened, think how thankful we should be for having our minds enlightened to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Brethren, if we can go to 1 Corinthians 11:28-29. In other words, in preparing for the Passover, meditate on the appreciation you have for God the Father and Jesus Christ. Of course, God the Father who gave his Son to be the Passover. So in 1 Corinthians 11:28-29, This was an exhortation by the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians. It says, starting in verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So, as we prepare for the Passover, one of the things that is very scripturally sound to do is to examine oneself. And then in verse 29, well, I read that, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." I read that. So, in discerning the Lord's body, that can mean ourselves, and individually, we're members of the body of Christ, and we are God's, so our body is God's. It can mean, of course, the church, the body of Christ, and obviously, it means Jesus Christ himself. So in these three ways, we can properly discern the Lord's body. So, brethren, the focus of the Passover should not be on just self-examination and just examining our sins and dwelling on our sins. We should not. We should have the faith to know that if Jesus Christ forgave us of our sins, we should forget those things behind, because Christ died so that all of our sins and the penalty of our sins can be blotted out. And we must we must remember that that has occurred. And so, but it should not just be on. More importantly, the focus should be on the payment that Jesus Christ made for our sins, not to just dwell on our sins. We should not do that. So we should focus on Jesus the Passover, Jesus Christ the Passover. Ephesians 2:8, brethren, some of the most beautiful words there are in Ephesians. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Salvation starts not with self-examination, but with Jesus Christ. Our Passover starts, ends, and is even throughout centered on Jesus Christ. That's something we should wrap our minds around, brethren. If we can go to John 15, this is something very important we should always keep in mind in our lives. And if all of the people in the world knew this, the world would be so different. Ephesians 15, verses 1 through 5. This is Jesus Christ, shortly before he was going to be crucified, giving his heart-to-heart message to his disciples, shortly before he was going to be crucified. And he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." Whenever, brethren, we have trials, remember, we are being pruned to bear more fruit. "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you," Christ said. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If a branch is cut off of the vine, it will wither away," physically speaking. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, For without me, you can do nothing. And that's what I wanted to focus on. So as we prepare for the Passover, realize that we can't of ourselves generate the righteousness within ourselves to keep the Passover. We can't obey God of ourselves. In fact, we can't do anything of ourselves. God gives us the next heartbeat, the next breath of air is a gift from God. And without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Brethren, if we could to Ephesians 12, 1 through 2. You know what? I'm going to summarize some more things because I just realized the time, and this is a super Sabbath, and so therefore I will be mindful of time. So, brethren, this is only to get you. This is just to give you an idea, just to plant a few thoughts in your mind for your own personal study. Because what did Paul say? We, each of us, is to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So each of us individually is responsible for how we prepare for the Passover. But this is just to give you some ideas and thoughts at this time. So, brethren, if we can go to Hebrews 12:2, breaking into the middle of the thought, in Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, and the Bible study today is going to be on joy, to be delivered by Mr. Dan Cupp. For the joy that was set before us, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, being our high priest, our advocate. Whenever we stumble, he is there to advocate for us before God the Father. 24/7. And all of us, multitasking among all the brethren, all of his first fruits. So, one thing I just want to say is, Christ shouldn't just be part of our life. He shouldn't just be a major part of our life, or even the most important part of our life. Christ should be our life. Now, we will hear about the first recorded Passover in Exodus 12. And this was a type. It was a type of the future Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. Your lamb, it said in Exodus 12, each household was to get a lamb or share it with neighbors if they didn't have enough in their house to handle an entire lamb. But anyway, they were to get it. And then it says in verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male. This was all a type of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that that lamb was obtained around the middle of the day on the 10th day of the first month of Abib or Nisan. And so it was kept for 3.5 days. It had to live with them, and then they had to kill it. That's interesting. 3.5 days, if you think of a day for a year, and Jesus Christ in his ministry. It was the focus of their Passover was that lamb. So they looked at that lamb, and we do not keep the Old Testament Passover in the New Testament. We look to the Old Testament Passover as part of God's word to help us better get insights about the Passover. But our Passover doesn't focus on that. It focuses on Jesus Christ. So, brethren, I'll just reading 1 Peter 1, 17 through 19. This is so, these are so wonderful words to think of as we prepare. 1 Peter 1, 17 through 19. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Doesn't the world call gold and silver non-perishables? That's not biblical, brethren. This is what's really non-perishable. From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, in verse 19, but with the you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, just like Exodus 12 was a type of. So, brethren, okay, I'm going to go to this part two. We'll go a little faster here. Jesus was the second Adam, and I'm going to try to summarize this for time. In the Garden of Eden, if you read the account, we'll just go to a few. If we go to a key verse in Genesis 1:26, in the very first chapter of Genesis, what did God say to Adam and Eve? What did God say to the first humans? He said, let us, and of course it was plural, so that was when I first learned of that, was brought to my attention when I first came in contact with the church, and I saw that us, it just amazed me that it says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So the first thing God said to Adam and Eve is, you are given dominion of this earth. So what happened after the serpent, Satan, and came into the picture and deceived and tripped up Adam and Eve? They sinned. What happened in regard to the dominion that God gave to Adam and Eve? It was given to Satan, the god of this world. Adam and Eve lost their dominion of this earth. Now, so what was God? It says that Jesus Christ in Revelation 13:8, this is a key one, so let's go to that, brethren. It's in the middle of a thought. It's breaking into a middle of a thought. In Revelation 13:8, it says, it's talking about all who dwell on the earth will worship him. So it's talking about an end time prophecy. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So, what happened was, that Jesus Christ knew that he was going to have to, according to his wisdom and God the Father's wisdom, come to this earth, as the prophecy, if we go to Genesis 3:15, shows. The first prophecy in the Bible of the Messiah is in Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15 says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed. He, and that's referring to Jesus Christ, shall bruise your head, because this was addressing Satan, and you shall bruise his heel. Christ was going to eventually remove Satan as the God of this world and eventually remove him from having dominion over this earth. And he was going to give mankind dominion over this earth. In fact, it expanded to all things, the universe and beyond. But how could not God have banished Satan right there and made and given that dominion back to the humans? Well, he could have, of course. In fact, Christ never lost his, and God never lost their dominion, their rulership of all things in the universe. But man lost his dominion over this earth at that time. And so the plan was from the foundation of the earth. In fact, even before the foundation of the earth, for Jesus Christ to come down, become a human, so I want to definitely go to 1 Corinthians 15. He became the second Adam, the human being who was going to be the brother of all of us, of all of us who are destined to be in God's family. He was going to come as a human being and overcome Satan. And through him being the Passover, he was going by then, after us being forgiven, and by him becoming a living high priest and helping us, he was going to help us overcome and regain our inheritance of the earth and even the entire universe. So in other words, it wasn't because Christ couldn't immediately negate what Satan had done, but he had a plan where he was going to be part of our family and become flesh. What a sacrifice that was. The being who had been with God the Father for all eternity in the past, in a glorious physical human being, was going to allow himself to come to this earth, the ultimate act of humility, to become a mere physical human being with all of our weaknesses. And he was going to suffer pain which he who created all things even created. Christ created pain, and he was going to suffer that pain that he had created. And he was going to do all of this to show his love for us and to be the first fruits and in bringing many sons and daughters to glory. These things to meditate on, brethren, are profound. They are profound. The incarnation of Christ was the ultimate act of humility that none of us could have ever dreamed up in our minds, that God would do something like that. None of us could have ever thought of that story, which is not just a story, it's the truth of God's plan of salvation. So, brethren, it is extremely important, you know, that we, in preparing for the Passover, pray. Okay, that we realize that the work of Jesus Christ is to defeat sin in every one of us, and the Lamb of God is that spiritual being who became flesh so that fleshly human beings could become spirit. He became flesh so that we could become spirit. Brethren, I'll just mention the third point was Jesus and reconciliation. Reconciliation is extremely important, not only for us to understand the reconciliation that is described in the Bible of man with God, which Jesus Christ enabled to occur, but also, as Christ said, that we be reconciled with other human beings, with all other human beings. So it is very important in preparing for the Passover to pray for the gift and the ability to reconcile ourselves, not only with God, which we were when we were baptized, but also, and continually are, but also with every other human being made in God's image. So, I'll just read, and I think I will just read one thing here. In Romans 5, let me get it right here. Yes, reconciliation. Just a few scriptures here. If we go to if we go to Romans 5, 7 through 11, just to read that one for now. There are many, many profound, there's as far as reconciliation, there's not a lot of New Testament scriptures that directly point to this, but those that are extremely profound and are deep with meaning, and you can take each of these and study them. Starting with Romans 5, 6, "For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." And in verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were sinners, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." There are other scriptures like that that are very powerful. But I just will go one more in this section is Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 21 through 26, where Christ himself directly talking to us, his disciples, then and now, said in Matthew 5, 21 through 26, "Now when Jesus," that's Mark, Matthew 5, 21 through 26, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' a condemnation, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift, therefore, before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." Be reconciled to your brother. And then it goes on. So I'll just stop there to say that one of the ways we should prepare for the Passover is to make sure that we are reconciled not only with God, but with our fellow humans. Brethren, a good topic to study is the institution by Jesus Christ of the new the New Testament Passover, which was very similar in some ways, but with distinct differences from the Old Testament Passover as explained in Exodus 12. So we are to focus on that. Christ instituted the bread and the wine ceremony, and of course the foot washing to show the humility that we should have in imitating the awesome humility of Jesus Christ himself. Now the fifth point is that Jesus Christ was our suffering servant. So this is a vast subject going into the book of Isaiah and in other areas, the prophecies that were fulfilled, which we now know were the prophecies of the first coming of Jesus Christ, not as the conquering king, which was expected at that time by the Jewish peoples in Palestine, but that first he was going to come as the suffering servant to suffer and die for us. And then, of course, that same suffering servant instituted the foot washing. And then the sixth point brought up in that Bible study was the resurrection, Christ in you. So, brethren, as I said, as we prepare for the Passover, we must not have the picture in our mind that is in traditional Christendom of a painting of Jesus Christ dead on the cross or a helpless little baby. He is that glorious being that shines with such an intensity we humans could not take it if we saw him directly in our state now, that's described in the first chapter of Revelation. And he is there at the right hand of Jesus Christ, and he's personally involved in being the Passover lamb for each and every one of us. And we must keep that in mind as we prepare for the Passover. Now, to make this seven, I just want to, the seventh point, as I promised you, I just want to say that there are many excellent helps for us in addition to that six-part Bible study series, which is online at UCG. There are many things that are of help, and I'll just mention some of them that I use, and you can use. There are many things that we can use. I call this a masterpiece, this booklet, Jesus Christ, the Real Story. This is so well written, I believe, in helping us to draw closer and to better as we read it, and as we read it over and over again, have a greater, deeper understanding of who Jesus Christ was and is. There was, which is online, or you may have, some of you may have, the March-April 2014 Good News Magazine, as it was called then, Who Was Jesus? It has tremendous articles in it about Jesus Christ. There was a book written by a man who was, he's actually a Catholic man, but he wrote, his name was Mr. Jim Bishop. He wrote a book, The Day Christ Died, and you have to ignore some things, you know, for instance, Christ did not have long hair and other things like that. But anyway, just to help us to try to comprehend the suffering of that last week of Christ because of his love for each of us. The Harmony of the Gospels, either just directly from your Bible, or if you have a Harmony of the Gospels, there are many versions of it. This is very helpful in getting an overview using the Harmony of the Gospels. I know I probably say this all the time, but anyway, I quote from Mr. Edersheim all the time, and he has some very profound things that help me to better understand about Jesus Christ. So, brethren, this is just an exhortation to suggests that now it is time for us to start preparing for the Passover coming up in March 29th this year, and to better understand that Jesus Christ is our life and he is our Passover.